We're doing Pirkei Avot. We're holding the first chapter, the 16th Mishnah. I'm sorry. And the previous Mishnayot had quoted Hillel and Shammai. And we know the Gemara tells us in Shabbat, Hillel v'Shimon, Gamliel v'Shimon. We have four generations. Hillel, his son Shimon, his son Gamliel, his son Shimon. These four generations, Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon, served as the leaders of the Jewish people the last century prior to the destruction of the temple. Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon, these four great rabbis were the rabbis who led the Jewish people. They were the Nesi'im the last 100 years prior to the destruction of the temple. So this Rabban Gamliel, Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, this Rabban Gamliel is the elder Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel HaZaken. He is the grandson of Hillel, and he told us the following thing. Asei l'charav, make for yourself a Rebbe, so that a person doesn't have to decide the halacha on his own. Sometimes we try to verify and we end up with a question. So what's a person going to do? We'll say, I'll be stringent. Well, why should you? There are rabbis around. Make yourself a rabbi. Call your rabbi and ask him. V'istalek min ha-safek. And distance yourself from situations of doubt. So a person might say, well, I'll decide. The rabbis always said, I won't decide. I'll find the Rebbe and I'll ask him. And I merited this morning to be Mekayim this Mishnah. We were standing between two doctors where each doctor said what the other doctor says is endangering the child. And tomorrow morning we have to decide. So two big doctors are telling us. And we went to a third opinion. And the third opinion said, no, one doctor's right. So I was about to decide. And I said, wait a second, I have a Rebbe. Let me call him up and ask him what he says. So I'd been trying to reach my Rebbe for a few days. Finally, this morning I reached him. So he said to me, look, I could tell you whatever I want, but let's consult. I have a friend who has contacts on top of the hospital. So he gives me the phone number, and 5 minutes later I'm dealing with the head of all the departments, the top specialist in the country in the matters that we need. And he told me not only what the correct answer is, I hope, but that he himself will be present in the operating room tomorrow morning with us. So I could have just decided, logic dictated to go a certain way, the way that we were going in then. But I said, no, our Mishnah says, make yourself a Rebbe and run away from doubt. I'm not 100% sure, so why shouldn't I call my Rebbe and ask him? I'd been trying to reach him 4 days unsuccessfully. This morning I tried again and I succeeded. And he put me in touch 5 minutes later with the top specialist in the country. And tomorrow morning we're, as Hashem, all going to be standing together. So this concept is not only a concept in halacha. It's in everything. A person can decide out of doubt, and we're entitled to decide. It's our life. But good advice is, if you could find yourself a Rebbe, so then you have the advantage that when you have doubt, you won't be acting out of doubt. Sometimes you have to decide out of doubt. But sometimes you could have a much clearer picture. When a person can, in questions of halacha for sure, that's what the Mishnah is simply speaking about. And I might add that in other issues, it's also helpful. A person makes himself a Rebbe, so a person doesn't have to act out of doubt. The Gemara says even Rava, when they come to him with a chicken that was questionable what the ruling on the chicken was, Rava would gather all the shochtim in town and say, let's analyze this together. He said, why should I have the weight of giving ruling on my own? Let's see what other people say. The Al Tabela Seomadot. This line over here is very difficult. It's complicated halachically. The literal understanding is that when we take off a tit, a miser, so the question is, how accurate do you have to be in all measurements of the Torah? So the basic level is you evaluate. You say, well, I figure this is about the amount I have. This is about a tenth of that, and I took off a tenth. Our sages said that there are different levels of measurement. You could weigh it. You could measure volume. There are different ways of measuring. And the more accurate you are, the better. So sometimes you could go with the base ruling and say, well, I evaluate. This is about a tenth. Rabbi Gamliel said, in life you're better off not evaluating. If sometimes you have to do it, fine, but you shouldn't do it frequently. A person shouldn't frequently evaluate. We should try to be accurate. We're supposed to take off a tenth, try to take off a tenth exactly. This is one understanding in the Mishnah. There are many understandings. This is a complicated line. We'll have to stick to this understanding this time that we're running through, just getting ape shot in the Mishnah. Mishnah Yud Zayin. Shimon Beno. Now we're dealing with Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Gamliel. You'll notice that in this Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is not called Rabbi Shimon, but rather Shimon. So the Mishnah was probably said when Rabbi Shimon had not yet been ordained as a rabbi. He hadn't yet gotten his smicha, so he's known as Shimon. This is Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who was murdered by the Romans. So we said we have Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon. This is the last leader. He was the one who was our last leader to the time of the destruction of the temple. So he said, Kol yamai gadalti ben hachachamim, throughout my days I grew up among the rabbis, ולא מצאתי לגוף טוב משתיקה, and I found nothing good for the body other than silence. Now we know the word, the letter mem, me, could mean rather than a relationship. I found nothing better for the body than silence. Or the word me could mean from. And then the Mishnah means the exact opposite. I found nothing good for the body that comes from silence. The Mishnah could mean one way or the other. The classical understanding, because there's, is that I found nothing good for better for the body than silence. That's the classical understanding of the Mishnah. You're sitting by the rabbis, you're learning, so be quiet, listen to what they have to say. You'll get the most out of that. But there is the alternate understanding, that I found nothing good for the body out of silence. You sit in front of your Rebbe for 20 years silent, you won't know anything. At some point you got to talk to him, you got to argue with him, you got to ask him, you got to question him. There's no way you'll learn if you're sitting there quiet for 20 years. So both understandings are true. The question is just when to apply which. There's also an understanding that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was talking about a situation where someone's cursing you out. So then, a person who can hear his shame and be silent, that's the best thing a person could do. Someone's berating you and you could just not say anything, that's the best. Velo midrashu aikar ela maase. And when it comes to learning Torah, the main point is the action. If you're going to preach and you're not going to do what you preach, then you're better off if you haven't preached. The main purpose of learning Torah is the action. And this is a complicated concept in halacha. The rabbis discussed what's more important, learning Torah or doing mitzvahs. So the rabbis said, learning Torah. Then they said, no, doing mitzvahs, because if you don't learn to do mitzvahs, then there's no point in the learning. Then the rabbi said, yeah, but learning Torah is still more important. On the condition that you do learn for the sake of doing. Why is learning Torah more important? Because if you don't learn, you can't do the action. Well, wait a second, what's more important? Is the action what gives the importance to the learning? So it seems like that's the way it works. You have to learn in order to know how to do, and you have to do what you've learned. But at the end of the day, the rabbis ruled the most important thing is learning Torah. But Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is telling us, no, you should know. The main point, though, is the action. You got to perform the mitzvot. If you're going to learn and not perform, then all your learning is worthless. You can't learn Torah as some esoteric, ancient knowledge. No. Torah is today practical, and we perform what we learn. So a person has to know that the main point is the action. Yeah. V'chol ha'mabed v'rim mevichet. Whoever talks too much causes sin. We find that Chava Eve, how'd she end up sinning? Because she spoke too much. Our sages warned us that when you talk too much talking brings sin.
Yes, that's true.
I don't know. Rav Shimon Gamliel was said v'chol. He was talking to all of us. You know, there's a joke about a guy who was sitting for 2 hours in the sun doing nothing. So after 2 hours, he gets up and leaves the sun. And another guy walks over to him and says, you know, you sat there for 2 hours doing nothing. So he says, how'd you know? He says, I've been sitting here 2 hours watching you. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Sorry. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, Al shlusha dvarim ha'olam amid. There are three things that allow us to have the world extend, meaning our world, our community, our interpersonal relationships only exist because we have three things. Aladdin, we have justice. So if a person's harmed, he has a justice system to turn to. Vala emet, and on truth, that people don't lie to one another. You hire a worker, you expect him to show up, he shows up. He tells you the thing is fixed, it's fixed. When we break these things, then we're breaking the foundations of society. Vala shalom, and peace. If there is no peace between the kingdoms, or if there is no peace between man and his friend, then all society is in trouble. Shneimar, as the verse in Zechariah says, emet u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'arichem. Judge in your gates truth and justice of peace. So we see you need truth, justice, and peace. That's what the prophet is telling the people. So with that, we end the first chapter. And with your permission, I'd like to quickly go over the first chapter, but I think we're out of time, so Be'ezrat Hashem, next week we will begin with a quick review of the first chapter before we go on to the second chapter. Yes?
About science in study. Here it said that even among the changes, and they found nothing better for oneself than science. And for example, in the Pythagoras schools, students kept silence during many first years. But from another side, he said that shiny cannot study well. And in the Mahon Meir, we practice all this Shaliot, questions, answers. How is it?
I think that
when we should ask, and right, when we should keep silent.
I think that there is an element of truth in both. When I read that this was the theory in those Greek schools, that first 3 years or 2 years you don't ask a question, I thought there was a lot of intelligence in that. You'll notice sometimes a student can walk into Machon Meir, he's never opened the Bible before, he's never opened the Talmud, he's never learned a thing. And yet he could disrupt the whole class, stop everyone else from learning because he can't get two words in edgewise. He always says, but I never understood this, and what about that, and what about this? You can't learn anything that way. There's an aspect where when you start learning, you cannot learn unless you listen first, and listen for a while. That's what the guy came to Hillel and said to him, tell me, I want to learn the written law without the oral law. So Hillel said, fine. So the first day Hillel teaches him, this is an aleph, and this is a base. So the guy says, okay. The next day he comes in, and Hillel reverses it. He shows him the aleph, he says, this is a base, and he shows him the base, and he says, this is an aleph. So the guy says, but yesterday you said the exact opposite. So Hillel grabs him by the ear and says, you hear what you're saying? You're going to believe me, right? Because if you don't believe me, you don't even know what's an aleph or what's a base, right? So if you're going to believe me on what's an aleph and what's a base, believe me a little bit further before you start questioning everything I have to say. That's a basic principle. You can't start learning unless you're ready to listen. So there's an aspect where when you walk in to learn, you have to be quiet and listen, and for a while. And sometimes the longer you listen, the more you'll understand and the less questions you have. Once you have a certain understanding and you know you understand what's being said, so then you reach the stage where you have to refine your understanding and you have to question in order to understand well. But there are two stages, I think. This is my own understanding. I don't know if it's right, but this is the way I understand it.
I think also because I didn't learn to listen first, and yet you know how to ask. I think asking is also kind of art. You have to muster yourself to ask right.